Welcome to the start of spring training. Last month, when MLB announced the penalties to the Houston Astros, I issued an apology to our fans and the city of Houston. I want to say again how sorry our team is for what happened.
I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I have learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans.
We had a great team meeting last night, and I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball, and our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on this Thursday. So many apologies. So sorry. Houston Astros players, team owner Jim Crane, speaking earlier today and finally putting to rest this cheating controversy, or not, you idiots. We're going to get to that in a second. Got Jonathan Von Tobel coming up here in about 25 minutes. Talk a little NBA. The All-Star game is, well, it's this weekend, but we got the dunk contest. We got three-point shootout, and it's a hell of a game last night between the Denver Nuggets and the L.A. Lakers going to overtime. We'll talk to JVT about that as well, as the Lakers take top standing in the Western Conference. Magnum, something I said from the start, the Lakers were going to be a top two team in the West. And I kept going back to the fact that prior to the All-Star break last year, and really around Christmas time when LeBron James had his groin injury, right? He had them in third or fourth. I can't remember. He had them third or fourth in the West with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. Like he essentially did it with no real A side pieces. I don't even know if he had a B side piece really in that, but he had that team in playoff contention. Now obviously he gets injured and everything falls apart. But the logic standing was you add AD with essentially, I know you lose a few pieces, but you add AD, that was such a big piece. I just didn't see how in any world they weren't going to sit near the top of the West with those two players.
Well, yeah, and I'll give you credit. I mean, you were on that train very early, and credit to you for calling that. I wasn't so quick to buy the Lakers.
Yeah, but the season ain't over. I mean, that's
but clearly they're a much better team with, obviously, Anthony Davis.
Yes. And LeBron James is a much better player, which is, I mean, he's already the greatest of his generation and maybe the greatest player of all time. But for whatever reason, people kept sticking on this fact that this guy that has basically been healthy his entire career, won a championship in Cleveland, which is like five championships anywhere else, a multiple-time MVP, multiple-time. I mean, we don't need to go down the lineage in the accolades that LeBron James has procured in his career. But the idea that he was slowing down or that he was just, there's going to be this falling off a cliff. In what world? He got a little injured, I'll give you that. But that was the other thing. I never believed that LeBron James has done. And
I mean, it's not like he suffered a debilitating knee injury.
No.
Even look at Kobe, right? Kobe had the Achilles injury.
Great point.
You know, I'm not sure Kevin Durant is going to be the same player.
We will find out.
Coming off the Achilles injury. And if he's not, poor Brooklyn Nets. Because basically they invested a ton of money in two players.
Even if he's not the same, he's so still, I mean, he can change his game.
You would hope so. But maybe the best part of all of this is the fact that we have shut LaVar Ball up, at least temporarily.
That is true. We haven't heard from him in a very long time.
You know,
Big Baller Brand completely failed.
Well,
right?
That was a given. $600 for crappy shit. He was charging, basically what he was doing is he was charging $600 for McGregor shoes.
Yeah.
Voight shoes, right? Like, remember
Starburys? Starburys were better.
At least Starburys were
better. No, Starburys were better.
$20.
Yeah, and they were better. Yeah. Like, even the $20 Starburys were better than the $600 Big Baller Brand.
I mean, nobody cares about New Orleans. Nobody. There are very few athletes, and I feel bad for Lonzo Ball because he was put in an impossible situation because his buffoon of a father who would not shut up. And now it's like, Lonzo Ball, is he even still in the league?
He's doing okay. And hey, that Pelicans team
is okay.
We'll see. I like what I see down in New Orleans.
We'll see how it stays together.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is as you said, LeVar being quiet. But
hey, the Las Vegas Pelicans, man. That's
I like the sound of it. We got some news. Speaking of Vegas,
I hope they keep them as the Pelicans too.
Speaking of Vegas, we got some Vegas news in terms of hockey coming up at the end of the show. It's actually not Vegas news. It is Henderson news. Very exciting news.
Hendertucky.
Yeah. Break. Hey, quit it.
I'm out there.
I live out in Henderson.
You live in Hendertucky?
No way, man. I think
they. Not surprised, Indiana boy living in Hendertucky.
I found my happy place.
Got my gun rack in the back of my F-150.
What am I going to do with a gun rack? I don't own a gun, let alone many guns that would necessitate an entire rack. Sorry. Little shout out to Wayne's World there. No one listening to this show got that reference.
I absolutely. You know what's funny? I went to a bar in Tokyo called Deathmatch in Hell, which, by the way, is the greatest name for a bar ever.
And yeah.
The bartender was this Japanese guy with unbelievably long hair, and he was rocking the Wayne's World trucker hat.
Oh, my God.
Legend. The guy is a legend.
I got to make it out to Japan. We've talked about that.
Just avoid the area because the robot restaurant is around there.
Oh, man. I got to get over there. That sounds like my dream. All right. Speaking of dreams or nightmares in this case, the Houston Astros held a press conference today to address their cheating scandal. Now, you heard some of the compilation there to start the show. Various players from Justin Verlander and Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve, pretty much all the main players, came out and gave their statements. We'll get to them in a second because what I want to start and focus on is owner Jim Crane of the Houston Astros. Old Jimmy came out. And on a day when you should be showing contriteness and using logic and reason and apologizing for one of the greatest cheating scandals in the history of sports, not just baseball. I mean, this is a story that won't die, and it won't die for good reason because it involves cheating, and baseball and cheating have gone hand in hand for decades. I'm not naive enough to think anything else, but the fact remains is this is a new age of cheating. This is a technological cheating. This is an increase in cheating. This is a more refined version of cheating. More of it, better at it. And probably with more effect on the game than ever before, unless you talk to Houston Astros owner Jim Crane, who, I guess apparently cheating doesn't really matter.
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. Our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
My opinion is it didn't change the game. Well, Jim, can I ask you a question? Why did you do it? That is the prevailing thought and question that the entire nation had. That's not just me. This isn't me. I'm coming on radio today, and boy, I got a hot take about this cheating scandal. No, that is literally the first response that everybody had. First of all, it helped you because, duh. It's cheating. You're stealing signs. And you're stealing signs in a much more effective way than stealing signs were ever relayed before in past history. Remember that Phillies guy, 20 years ago, 15? Whatever it was. Out there in the outfield relaying signs from the outfield. I mean, that's old hat. That happens. But that's intermittent. This is potentially involving buzzers and banging on trash cans. Immediate relaying of information using high-tech video equipment and just a very elaborate system. And now he comes out and he says it didn't help us win. Madam, I have never heard in my life a more tone-deaf apology. The entire sports world, not just baseball, now the entire sports world is paying attention and they're out for blood.
Well, imagine you a world where a foreign nation interferes in an election. There's an entire report done on it that says it. There's intelligence agencies that tell you, and the person who benefits from that, that's what this is.
It's not a big deal. You think Jim Crane's taking some like Trumpian level logic here?
None
of it matters.
It's pure narcissism.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful. And quite honestly, it's like it's not even a real apology.
No, you would be better off just coming out and saying it right off the bat.
Because right, everyone knows you
this
cheated.
You know what this is?
You fired your manager and your general manager, and you're going to sit there and say, nah, no big deal.
Didn't help us.
Didn't help us at all.
We just fired our front office. This is like Rafael Palmeiro. For those of you that remember at the hearings with the steroid scandal, where he stood in front of the judge and well, not the judge, but the counsel, whatever the hell it was. It was 20 years ago. I don't remember. But you, I do remember Rafael Palmeiro indignantly shaking his fist. I did not take steroids. Well, you did.
Yes.
Because you all did. If you were named in that report, really good chance you took steroids.
This is like Ben Johnson. Oh, my God, what a reference. I'm trying to think. This is like a guy starting at the 75-yard mark in the 100-meter dash and winning and saying, the head start had nothing to do with it.
No, I'm just a faster runner. Yeah. We're just a better baseball team.
You know what? Yeah.
We earned that World Series. And here's the
thing.
No,
you didn't.
No, you didn't. And here's the thing. We can debate about punishment, and I do think the punishment was entirely too lax. It made even more so clear by today's lack of an apology from – manager
there's
from
zero
owner
remorse.
Jim Crane.
No, there's zero. No remorse.
And so that leads to, where is the incentive to not cheat?
Well, if
I'm Jerry Reinsdorf, or if I'm any owner, it doesn't matter. If I'm the Wilpons out in the Met.
Well, they
I'm saying especially if it's the Wilpons, right?
Yeah, you'd be like, hey, congratulations. You finally got off your asses.
And I don't even know if the Mets – exactly. I don't even know if Mets fans would care. They would just be like, all right, cool. You're doing something.
Yes.
But the point is you can now cheat – and you can win a World Series with zero consequence coming down. Essentially, the punishment that was doled out to the Astros was minimal.
Yeah. You lost a couple draft picks. You paid a fine. You fired a coach who probably wasn't even a great coach to begin with.
Do you still have those young draft picks that got you the World Series?
Yeah, you still have all those players.
Were you still able to have that money to go out and spend and get those free agents? Are you still – there has been no hampering of their future whatsoever.
Yeah,
so again,
where's
the incentive not to cheat?
Well, and it's so bad because the you can't have an apology if you're not remorseful. It's like I watched Jeremy Roenick with his fake apology, and I liked Jeremy Roenick as a player. I liked him as an analyst, but
he was my first favorite hockey
player. You cannot get up there and not have remorse.
Yeah, well, fill in people what happened with JR since you brought it up.
Well,
and
his
apology today.
He was basically sexually harassing Catherine Tappan.
Yeah, and he made a reference on a podcast about having a threesome with her.
Yeah. Like, you know what? That's cool if she's not your coworker, right? Like, what I'm saying is if you're doing like a Howard Stern show.
Yeah, which it was. I think it was like a Barstool podcast.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
And Howard says to Jeremy Roenick, hey, who are two celebrities you'd like to have a threesome with?
Yeah, don't mention your coworker.
Yes, you don't mention your coworker. That's the dumbest thing you could do.
Even if it's true,
yes.
You don't mention your coworker.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing?
And then his apology, he tweets it out, and he's like, what did he say? What a joke?
What a joke, disgusting. It's something like that.
Zero remorse.
Zero.
Come on, JR. You've been around a long time.
And he was doubling down saying, I'm going to be back. I'll be back screen sooner than later. And yes, the headline of Jeremy Roenick's apology, what a joke. Double exclamation
what
port.
Are you doing?
You're stupid.
You are guaranteeing that you will not be back.
Yeah, you're stupid. And then they call it cancel culture, and it's like, no. I mean, this isn't – HR has always been around.
I mean,
like,
people
– HR has always taken – you know, paid attention to issues involving employees. Like,
people like me, my age, they will remember this buffoon, Jim Baker. Jim Baker was a TV televangelist.
You're talking about the televangelist, didn't you?
And he stole all this money. He built an amusement park for Christianity. Stole all this money from all these poor people. And he gets on TV and he's crying, I have sinned, I have sinned. You know what Jim Baker's doing right now? Jim Baker is selling some kind of magical liquid that will cure you of coronavirus in 12 hours. So clearly there was zero remorse. You're full of crap.
The apple doesn't far fall from the tree. Back to the Astros, and that is a great point about Roenick and the lack of remorse, just seemingly a lack of remorse day and apologies just all around the sports world. But we bring up Jim Crane, the owner, saying it didn't help you. What was funny is someone asked him later in that press conference why he said that. He's like, I never said that.
It's like, dumbass.
you literally just said it. Like, I just, like Roenick, Crane, whoever. They're just old and they don't understand that cameras are on them all the time.
We live in a world where nobody's held. If you have money and you are rich, you're not held accountable for anything.
Anarchy! Preach, Magnum, preach.
I mean, look, a perfect example. Look at OJ.
Yeah. Hey, shh.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Sorry, OJ.
Yeah. I'm not doing you say it to the mic. I just feel like he has ears everywhere.
He does. Well, he hopefully he doesn't have knives everywhere. I can live with the ears, but I can't live with the knives.
Always plasticware. Always plasticware for juice.
Imagine when you have him at your house. You're always nervous when, you know, you're serving steak dinner. Do you have OJ over for steak dinner? Man, I can't cut my steak with these plastic stuff. Okay, Juice, I'll cut it for you.
No, he was at a Vegas Golden Knights game, I think in year one.
Year two, I remember last year.
Yeah, year two, and I kept eyes on him. He was sitting by Daniel Ngannou, and he was across from me.
He didn't put the camera on him.
He didn't get up. I watched him the whole time. He didn't get up during the national anthem. So there you go, unpatriotic O.J. Simpson.
Well, he's not black, he's O.J.
He didn't share when the Vegas Golden Knights scored. I generally think he was just there to scout. He was just there looking for women.
Looking for women who look like Nicole.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Oh, you'll find a lot of them at a hockey game.
By the way, if we're not on the air tomorrow.
Help.
Yeah.
Help. Help.
Make sure you don't hire, what was her name? Marcia Clark?
Yeah.
To be the.
Don't. If I end up disappearing tomorrow, do not hire Marcia Clark to find my killer. One final thing on the Astros. We heard from a lot of their players, right? Not one of those players, and they were given the opportunity to apologize to the Dodgers and the Yankees. They didn't.
No.
And that, for me, I have a problem with that.
Well, that would be admitting that you did something wrong.
And right, I honestly don't feel like these guys did anything wrong. Not truly. It felt like today was just a PR move. Yes. We had to wait till we all got on the same page and we all talked. And now we're doing all these individual press conferences on the same day because we want to make sure our messaging was right.
And we don't have to talk about it ever again.
When the cops pull you out of a car with
a
group of
people.
Happen. You know, I'm just saying allegedly. I don't know. I have no experience with this. They separate you. And why do they do that?
Because they
want to make sure that you can't get all your stories together.
Yes.
These idiots had weeks to get their stories together, and they came out and crapped the bed in this way and manner. I'd say I'm shocked, but I don't know if I could be shocked in 2020 anymore.
Well, Altuve said, yeah, we had a great team meeting last night. Yeah, you discussed exactly the nonsense you were going to say today, and hope it goes. You know what? I hope the reporters who cover that team and the Major League Baseball people hound this team all season until this team no longer exists as a unit, till everybody leaves as free agents, they retire.
Yep. And they're going to have, and Magnum, they're going to have that opportunity because there are going to be so many beanballs, there are going to be so many brawls, there are going to be so many instances where you know why it happened, and then they're going to have to go after the game and be like, why do you think it happened?
Right, like there's the quote unwritten rules, and baseball purists love them, right? But like they love the unwritten rules of the game. But you know, the new generation, the boomer or the Generation X and millennials, they don't like the unwritten rules, right? Like they don't like fighting in hockey. They don't like beanballs. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's how you keep this crap out of your sport.
Yeah.
A 95 mile an hour fastball to the ribs will make you think twice.
Or go full Pedro and throw it at the face.
Yeah,
we're nearing that territory because
I hope it doesn't come to that.
Dude, people used to throw at people's heads for much less.
Well, Bob, what was his name? Bob Gibson.
Sure. I mean, but
he was a lunatic.
Pedro Martinez was a lunatic.
Yeah. Well,
Pedro Martinez used to whip high heat at people's
faces.
And
he also whooped Don Zimmer's ass, who was 50 years older than him.
He did. And you know, Pedro played in the American League and he never had to bat, whatever.
Oh, he played for the Mets.
That's true. Would he have done it, though? I'm talking early. Would he have done it?
No.
Probably not, but it's going to happen this year, so we'll keep
Randy
an eye
Johnson.
On it.
Yep. No fear.
Yep.
Go ahead, throw at him.
So we'll turn the page on baseball. Obviously, I think there'll be plenty more throughout the year involving this cheating scandal, and we'll, of course, circle back around it, but obviously a bad day for the Houston Astros. Good day, though, Magnum, potentially, at least for you. I know it is. News coming out today that the first game in Allegiant Stadium may not be a football game. No, not UNLV. Definitely not the Oakland Raiders, now Vegas Raiders. Not a concert. What's the first game going to be?
Soccer.
Football.
One of the biggest rivalries in the world.
What do we call it?
El Clasico.
El Clasico. Real Madrid versus, who is it?
Barcelona. I don't speak Spanish, but I think that means the classic.
Barcelona.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, I can't do that. Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Yeah. It's like Ibiza. Well, Ibiza.
I'm trying to be authentic, man.
Yeah, Bartha.
Barcelona.
Yes. And the best player on the planet, Leo Messi. Now, he probably won't play because I know he's skipped a couple of these in the U.S. Barcelona seems to come over here every year.
Mm. And you don't think he played to open up Allegiant Stadium, given the spectacle of it?
I think that's because I know they played in Ann Arbor and he didn't play. But I feel like maybe because it's Vegas, right? Like I would feel awful if they market the hell out of this and they put his picture on everything.
Yeah, well, you know
and,
they're going to.
Yeah, and then he's like, meh, I don't feel well. I'm not going to play.
Yeah, you would know more than I do, but I would think a player like that being brought over in that type of first game and that sort of pomp and circumstances, if he doesn't play, I already kind of have an issue with this being the first game just because soccer is so not what – it's not on the rung. It's not really on the – I mean, it's definitely among the youth. It is.
I'm about to come across as bored, man.
Well, no. It's extremely popular amongst a certain group of people, but – you know, Allegiant Stadium, I really want it to be a Raiders game, the first thing. And if it can't be a first game for the Raiders, it's got to be UNLV.
Well, I feel like they want to open the stadium with a bang, not just here in Las Vegas.
But worldwide.
Yeah. It's and honestly, soccer is, whether we want to admit it or not, it's the biggest sport in the world.
Yeah.
And these are two of the, if not the biggest teams, because you will have people come from all over the planet. They will converge in Las Vegas, A, because it's Las Vegas, and B, because it's the first game ever at this stadium.
Yeah.
And you're bringing in two of the biggest teams on the planet in any sport. You will have people come from South America. You'll have people come from Europe. You'll have people come from Asia. I mean, you're not going to get that for a Raider game. You're not going to get that definitely not going to get that for a UNLV football game.
That's a fair point, yeah.
But I understand the local...
Do you think it could have anything to do with potentially wanting to get a World Cup here?
I think that would be because the 2026 World Cup, they left Vegas off the list.
Right.
And I feel like Vegas feels slighted by that. I know I do. I'm like, wait a minute. We have the most state-of-the-art stadium outside of maybe Los Angeles.
Is there any way we could get added to that at the later date?
I think it is
6 years away, right?
Yeah, I think they could. They could do whatever they want.
So do you
think
this might have anything to do with that?
It could. You know, I say you bring international friendlies here, right? You bring Mexico here, you bring England to play friendlies, you bring these big clubs here and let them see this city. They're going to go home and tell, hey, look, we want to play in Vegas.
Yeah, how could you not?
Be stupid not to.
Yeah, it's the proximity, the lack of traffic.
I mean, I'm not saying have the final here.
Yeah, no.
But zero reason why you shouldn't have preliminary round games here.
And you can have the final here, too. I mean, I'm not going to say no.
This city could support it, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Speaking of being able to support big events coming over this weekend, we've been talking about it all week on the show. NASCAR is in town, and we got tickets out to the Xfinity Series that we're going to be giving away coming up here in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned. I'll let you know how you can win. 365-9200 is the number. Two tickets to see the Xfinity Series, I should say, this Saturday. Out at the Speedway. What are you motioning to me over there?
No.
Time?
Yes, time, yes. Because I know.
I thought you were giving me a signal on the tickets again. No, two tickets.
No, we have four. No, four tickets.
Oh, four.
Four
okay.
tickets, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You gave me a two, and now you're...
Yeah, I'm like 2-2. Okay. I don't know.
All right, four tickets.
Yes, four tickets again.
Xfinity Series this weekend at the Speedway. So stick around, and I'll let you know how you can win that. Final note before we go to break and come back with JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel getting to the NBA, the association in that game last night between the Lakers and Nuggets, and a look ahead to the... All-Star game this weekend, three-point shootout and dunk contest and all that
is
good stuff.
Is UNLV Derek Jones, is he going to be in the dunk contest
again? He is. Yep. Chicago kid, UNLV.
He's got to win it.
He's got ups. We'll see what JVT has to say in terms of his favorite. But a final note, jump around to the NFL. Colin Kaepernick is going to be releasing. We talked about Kaepernick yesterday. Wanted exorbitant money from the XFL. I had this conversation last night. Someone was like, well, you know, the XFL pays their top quarterbacks $500,000. And I'm like, yeah, Mike Glennon got $18.5 million from the Chicago Bears in 2017. Mike Glennon, what do you think Colin Kaepernick would be worth at 32 years old, one step away from being a Super Bowl MVP, a career quarterback rating of 90? Just about 90, like 88.9, something like that. A 72, I believe, to 30 touchdown to interception ratio and 17,000 yards thrown in his career. How much do you think he would be worth? Do you think that he would take $500,000 from the XFL? Are you kidding me? What an insulting offer. Anyway, it's beside the point. Kaepernick keeping himself busy in retirement, as we all know. He's writing a memoir now on his national anthem protests, quote, saying, "My protest was a culmination of years of thought and experiences of learning and unlearning. I want to tell the story of my evolution and the events that led to my protest, systematic oppression, in hopes that it will inspire others to rise to action." All right. So this is how he's staying busy. I'm sure there's naysayers and detractors out there. This is all he ever wanted to do. He never actually wanted to play football. He just wanted to be, what, a change, an avenue, an agent, I should say, for change?
Advocate.
An advocate for change and progress? I don't see the problem. I don't see the problem, but as news came out earlier this week about Dwayne Wade's son, Zion, now wanting to be a woman and being his daughter. All the comments around that. I don't know why people are so involved and so worried about other people's lives and their choices. Colin Kaepernick is wanting to make the world a better place as he sees fit. Dwayne Wade's now daughter is doing what she wants to do. Doesn't affect you. Colin Kaepernick's decision to write memoirs doesn't affect you. Don't buy it. Don't have to comment on it. You don't have to have an opinion on it. You can just be quiet. Just let him do his thing. And if you are quiet about it, I would imagine that would mean less press for him and less money in his pocket. So really, if you talk about it, you're just doing him a favor. No press is bad press. And that's true. Because you drum up the other side. If you're truly against Kaepernick, you're just making the other side more, vocal about their desires. All right. Well, there you go. Colin Kaepernick trying to secure the bag. Memoirs coming out shortly, writing about his anthem protest. When we come back, though, we are diving into the association. A hell of a game went to overtime last night between the Lakers and the Nuggets. We're going to talk about that with Jonathan Von Tobel. Also, we're going to dive into the All-Star Game festivities. And I'm going to ask John, is the dunk contest overrated? I hope he doesn't answer the way I don't want him to. Jonathan Von Tobel coming up next. Thank you. Sorry. Chapman, way to go. Got to give away those tickets. I almost jumped the gun. 365-9200. Very easy. Be caller number 8 as we head in to the All-Star break. You can win 2 tickets to the Xfinity Series out there at the Speedway this Saturday. 365-9200. Caller number 8 for the one and only Kobe Bryant as we head into the All-Star game. This is the Mac Attack. We'll be right back.
Here's a ground ball right side. Could do it. The Houston Astros are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Mac Attack here on 920 The Game. Joining us right now, he's a regular to this show. He's also a regular over on our sister station as a part of the company on Cofield and Company, and he is the host of The Edge on VSiN, channel 204 on Sirius XM, but more importantly, right here on the Better Network on 920 The Game. He is otherwise known as JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. What's up, JVT?
Not so much, man. Celebrating the fact that the Houston Astros had attained the World Series and just living life.
I'm glad you brought that up because it was literally going to be the first thing I asked you about.
I figured. I heard the reason.
Yeah, I mean, this is... I've seen a couple people out in the social media landscape like actually trying to defend this. John, I keep circling back to this is absolutely indefensible. You heard Jim Crane's response today, essentially that the cheating didn't help them win the World Series. Have you heard a more tone deaf apology?
No, it wasn't even an apology. It's amazing. Every single part of it, from Crane to the players, like Verlander's like 4-minute like little scrum that I watched was completely annoying, like not wanting to get into the details of it. Like, you know what, Justin, how about we get into the details? Like, you guys cheated. You guys cheated when you won a World Series. Like, it's worth getting into details here, man. Like, what happened today was absolutely ridiculous, and Crane was the worst of all. Like, to sit there and go, well, because he had a great moment. I don't know if you saw the whole thing where he did the whole thing where he's like, I don't think it impacted competition. And one of the writers asked him, like, you don't think it impacted competition? He's like, well, I never said I don't think it impacted competition. And then he goes back to it again a third time. So, like, I have no idea what they're doing. And if they're going to do this, I'd have more respect for them if they came out and said, yeah, we did it. You know what? But we're still pretty good. And we're just going to come out here. We're going to play. Because what's going to happen? The investigation's over, right? Major League Baseball's not going to do anything anymore. So why not just come out and just be like, yeah, we did it, and guess what? You guys can't stop it. We have our title. Now we're just going to continue to be very good. So I'd have more respect for them if they did that, not whatever they did today.
I agree. Troll Rob Manfred. It's Rob Manfred's decision. Did he punt it? No. It is what it is. We won, and cheating has been a part of baseball for hundreds of 140, 150 years, right? You can go back to the Black Sox. You can go to Albert Bell. You can go to George Brett. You can pull from a lineage of cheaters, Barry Bonds. You can bring up the steroid era. But to essentially say and to ride or die essentially on this idea that the cheating didn't help you win a World Series and get to two is it's absolutely ridiculous. And I wonder about legacy, John. Like, as we talk about, I mean, you're a child of the steroid era. I'm a child of the steroid era. I mean, we were kind of left to make up our own determinations on the legacies. We were making our own asterisks. We talked about it on the show. I think the Astros went from one of the most beloved baseball teams that if you were going to cheer for a team that wasn't your own to easily the most hated. I guess the question is, how long does that hate last, John? And what is the legacy of this team?
Well, I think it's going to last for forever. It doesn't help the way that they've been handling it. And I think that's really what's going to impact how they're remembered. If they were to come out and be contrite and apologize and do all the right stuff, then I think history would be a little bit more friendly with them. But at this point, the way they've handled everything, they're going to be hated and they're going to be the Houston asterisks, I think, for a really long time. Because, and here's the other thing, too, that's always going to live with them. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence. I guess they made it to the World Series again last year and they lost to the Nationals, but they haven't won since they stopped cheating, right? So, that's the other thing that's probably going to stick with them.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I just say it's going to run side by side, and their defenders are just going to have to eat crow for year after year, and I think they're going to get quieter and quieter. They're there right now because I don't think the Astros fans, John, realize the magnitude of what's happening to their franchise right now. I think they're in their own little bubble.
Oh, yeah, and what's going to be even more brilliant is in the next year or two, then they're going to start running into the salary issues, right? They're going to start to run into the fact that, hey, we've got to start playing with these guys. We're going to keep this whole squad together, and hopefully it's only one title to show for it, and the title in which they cheated the majority of the year. But, yeah, history's not going to be too kind to them, especially the way they handled it. And, you know, especially, I don't want to say I'm disappointed that maybe it was cut out, but, like, when he's going on, when Crane's going on this whole thing where he's like, it doesn't impact competition, I think the follow-up question immediately is, then why do it?
Right.
If you do think that it impacted, you know, the outcome of a game or the result, why did you do it?
Why'd you,
I would love to hear that answer.
Why'd you risk the integrity of your franchise and your players and your manager? And you knew what you were doing. Yeah, it is. What a wild day in baseball. But baseball is not why we brought you on, John, although we do love chatting some baseball here on this show. The All-Star game is just a few days away. Obviously, that means All-Star festivities for the NBA. First time returning to the Windy City since Jordan and the free throw line dunk back all the way in 88. It's kind of hard to believe that. But before we get into the All-Star game, I got to ask you about the game last night, the Battle of the West, John, the top two teams in the Western Conference, maybe the two best teams in the NBA, the Utah Jazz taking on the Lakers, and the Lakers get it done, John. They get it done on the road. They get it done in a hostile environment. They get it done in OT, and boy, did they rely on LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I'm just going to ask you, are the Lakers the best team in the West?
No, it's the Clippers. And by the way, the Lakers played the Nuggets last night.
You're right. It's a bunch of white guys out west. My apologies, but thank you for the correction.
The Lakers are not the best team in the West. It's the Los Angeles Clippers. I've held true to that since the beginning, and I think that's going to remain the case once they get to the postseason. The Lakers are really good. It doesn't denigrate, you know, exactly what they are.
Right.
And the gap between the Clippers and the Lakers is not very big, but there's a gap there nonetheless. And I tell you what, man. You better watch out for the Nuggets because this team is quietly like one of the deepest teams in the NBA, and they shipped off two guys at the trade deadline, and they're still just as deep. They have a lot of length, they have a lot of size, a lot of scoring talent. They're really good defensively. They have an inherent home court advantage, which is going to help them get possibly a top two seed in the Western Conference. Like, that was a playoff game last night, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was really cool to see. But you know, I couldn't help it. I made the joke, but like, I couldn't help but sit back and watch and see the Lakers get a combined, what was it, 67 points from Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and you won by four in overtime. Like, it speaks to how good the Nuggets could really be.
Yeah, I guess, and I agree with you. I do think the Nuggets are a well-constructed team, but their main centerpiece, Nikola Jokic, last night, John, into OT, I mean, it was pretty clearly he was getting gassed. I've talked to people that very much think that Jokic could benefit from taking his role a little bit more seriously, getting a little bit better shape. I do wonder how his fitness and how his play will continue into a playoff push into the summer. Does that worry you at all?
No, I mean, he's actually reportedly lost about 20 pounds since the start of the season.
What?
You know, I think he's one of those guys that is going to, like, play himself into shape a little bit. But his shape is going to be different, obviously, right? Like, he's not going to be like some cut, ripped dude who's out there. And remember, like, to his point, like, I feel like it's sometimes a little unfair with Jokic. Like, yeah, he looked really awful at the beginning of the season. He has clearly slimmed down a little bit. But last year, and I don't remember if this was a regular season game or if this was part of their series with Portland, they had a quadruple overtime game with the Portland Trailblazers last year. Jokic played all four overtimes. Like, he didn't go out one time. And I believe in the end he played every minute from the second half onward. So, you know, his fitness at times has been an issue, but I think when it comes down to the postseason, he'll be perfectly fine and he'll be ready to go.
All right. So as we talk about getting ready to go, the All-Star game, as I mentioned, happening this weekend in Chicago. John, I saw a post on Twitter about someone was essentially slandering the dunk contest, saying you don't need to watch it. It's all hype. If anything cool happens, it's like once every 5 years. You're better off just catching the highlights on Twitter. I hated that take. I hate it so much. I am a child of the All-Star game skills contest and the All-Star weekend and all the festivities that go with it. Craig Hodges, you know, emptying a full rack back in the 80s and early 90s. Jordan, as I said, from the free throw line. What's your take on the All-Star game festivities?
Well, dunk contest I would agree with. I mean, the dunk contest has been completely just diluted at this point. None of the stars participate. I think, like, there's a cool local tie. Obviously, Derrick Jones, who's one of the best leapers in the NBA, is going to be part of it. Good chance to win it. But the fact that none of the stars participate, the fact that, you know, some of these guys get, like, multiple shots and, you know, you're seeing missed dunk after missed dunk and then they finally pull it off. And it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, you get 7 out of 10, man. Congratulations. Now, I am a big fan of, like, the three-point contest, the skills contest, as you mentioned. Those things are a lot of fun, and I'm actually going to bet on the NBA three-point contest like I did last year, but I think the dunk contest has kind of lost its luster for me. Like, I've always wanted to see the LeBron James in there, or, you know, the top-tier stars, like a Russell Westbrook potentially a little bit more, and, like, it's never happened, and I think that's why it's lost the luster. But the rest of the contests, I think, are a lot of fun. And you have the Rising Stars Challenge on Friday as well, where you see some of the young guys play basketball. So there's a lot around the All-Star Weekend that I really enjoy, but the dunk contest is definitely at the bottom of the list.
Kind of making me sad, but you make a fair point. I'm just a mark. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to watch it no matter what. It's kind of like the award shows, like the Grammys and the Oscars. It can be a weak year, but I'm still going to watch because it's like, I don't know, it's like ingrained in me.
I never have interest in any of those. And look at just the other night, man. Like, the other night when LeBron gets that perfect moment where he recreates the Kobe dunk, right?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles. Like, he's still, like, old as dirt in basketball years, and he's still one of the best dunkers if he wants to be. Like, wouldn't you love to see that in a dunk contest as opposed to, you know, what is it this year? Like, Aaron Gordon, Derrick Jones, and I can't even remember who the other guys that are in it. But, like, it's just...
Isn't Dwight Howard going to be in it?
Yeah, Dwight Howard, right? Like, okay. Cool. Like, you're having a resurgent year, Dwight. It's been great, but, like, I don't want to watch you. You're like 50.
Well, you talk about LeBron. We've been asking for a LeBron dunk contest for 17 years. I mean,
never gonna happen.
No, it's never going to happen. But you're right. That Kobe dunk the other night was almost like a dunk contest. That was beautiful. That was art. That was awesome. You talked about the 3-point shooting contest. Why don't you break that down for me? You said you like Derrick Jones in the dunk contest. What are you looking at in terms of handicapping when you look at the 3-point shootout?
So 3-point contest. Devontae Graham out of Charlotte. I think he's like 10-1. That's my guy. So he is actually – one, I usually go for, like, value. So last year I actually hit Joe Harris, who's the defending champ. Harris was awesome. And he still is, but he's a little shorter this year because he's defending champion. But, like, Devontae Graham at the beginning of the year was actually breaking, like, Steph Curry records with how blazing he was in the first half from a three-point perspective. He's like a 50% corner three-point shooter at this point. He's right around 40% on all of the three-point shots, in front of the key. He's a really good shooter. And you're going to get that level of shooter at double digits at about 10-1. Like, to me, it's no contest. Like, Trae Young, he's definitely above a 50% corner shooter, but, you know, you're not getting anything at, like, 3-1 or 250.
Right.
Or something like that.
Right.
So I want something where I'm going to get a little more meat on the bone. And shooting, like, some shooters are obviously better than others, but all of these guys are really good shooters. And there's nothing they have to worry about in terms of, like, hand to the face or anything like that. So I'll just take a really good shooter at 10-1 and take my chances. Worked out last year, so I'll do it again this year.
Talked me into it. All right. Here with Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT. All right, JVT, what about the game itself? Team Giannis. okay. I guess this is where it's clear that LeBron James has been a GM for like 15 years in the NBA, and his team is very, very good. Giannis's team, okay, they're all-stars, but what was he thinking when he constructed this team, John?
Well, it's all Eastern Conference teams. Like, that's the weird part about it. Like, it's an all-Eastern Conference team for Giannis, and there's like two guys from the West that are sprinkled in there for some reason. So, I guess LeBron just realized, hey, like, my conference is better. Let me just start drafting guys. And when he realized that Giannis wasn't going there, he's like, sure, let's keep this going. But I think The format's really weird. So I'm actually kind of, I know it's like the whole tribute to Kobe and there's charity involved and I'll probably sound pretty terrible saying this, but I don't really have any interest in watching because just the format's so weird and different that it just kind of takes a lot out of it for me. So, like, I'm really a lot more interested in what's going to happen during the All-Star festivities and the games we were talking about as opposed to the game itself. Sorry, my child is very excited to go to the park.
Stop it, Diego. We hear you. You talk about the rule changes or some of the things that are happening. You're right. In honor of Kobe, the target score for victory will be determined by adding 24 points to the leading team's total after three quarters.
Make sure it's clear. So they actually reset the score after the first two quarters. So, like, the winner of the first quarter gets whatever amount of money to their charity. Hmm. And the winning team after the second quarter, after the score is reset, gets the winning amount to their charity. And then after the third quarter, they add the 24 points to that score, and then that's the target score, and then there's no clock either. Like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Like, from a betting perspective, too, we were talking about it this week. Like, how do you book this? It's so weird, and it's so different. And, I testing the waters, just talking to people, and, you know, it's a very unofficial sample size because I think it's, like, 12 people. But nobody's really interested in the All-Star game. And this is a game that really people weren't interested in to begin with anyway. Like, all the curmudgeons and boomers were like, yeah, show us an effort. What is this, slam line? And now you have this weird format on top of it, and it's just like, I think it's lost all of its luster.
All right, final question. I'm going to get you out of here on this. I don't know where you stand with being a nostalgia guy. I know you're a little bit younger, but as far as collecting things go, I'm not really sure. But it's an Upper Deck card. It's a 1/1. I don't know if you saw this. It's an 03-04 exquisite collection, all NBA access pass from Upper Deck. It is a logo patch of the NBA logo worn on a jersey by LeBron James and Michael Jordan. It's a 1/1, John. It just sold for $900,000 at a private auction. Is there anything, any sport piece of memorabilia you would, I don't know like what the equivalent would be to your bank account, but like $100,000 for? This is an insane number.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely nothing I would care about enough to spend that type of money on. There is something. I would actually buy that bus pass that was it Clyde Drexler who stepped on it in the Geico commercial. I would totally buy that. That would be pretty cool. That commercial was brilliant.
I'm going to need $900,000 if I want to get tickets to this Rage Against the Machine and run the Jewel show. That was a nightmare this morning. So I guess thoughts will be with me. Fingers crossed. Do you even care about – I mean, I know you're young. Do you care about Rage and Run the Jewels, or are you just laughing at old people?
No, I know who they are. I've enjoyed their music, but I'm also not a music guy.
Yeah.
It sounds fun. It would be something I would like to experience, sure, if I could afford it. But, you know, your life sounds pretty terrible having to go through that, man. I feel for you.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. Condolences to Big Mac. JVT.
Hey, as long as you realize that Metallica would suck as a Super Bowl halftime show,
we're all good. Now we have to kick you off, and you can never come back. Banned from the show forever. This is his last and only appearance on the Mac Attack, folks. Enjoy it. Jonathan Von Tobel. Thanks, JVT.
Later, guys.
Appreciate it. All right. That is JVT. You can find him out on Twitter at It's Me JVT. Actually, at Me JVT. You know what? Don't go follow him on Twitter, though, because Metallica slander and just very nonchalant about Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels. I'm not okay with any of that. And the dunk contest. He slandered the dunk contest. I hated all that. I hated every piece of that. John, you're terrible, but thanks for coming on. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, plenty more here on the Mac Attack.
And crew got with it, and the Blues at the bench are realizing that they are going to be champions. 10 seconds to go. The longest wait for a first title any team in this league has had. For the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, all right. We are back here on the Mac Attack. Thanks to our guest, sort of, Jonathan Von Tobel, for stopping by. All right, Magnum. Coming up here in about 4 hours. You heard it there in the rejoin. So carefully, meticulously put together. That's right. The defending champs, the St. Louis Blues, making their way into Vegas and T-Mobile Arena, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. And you were at shoot-around. Obviously, the big takeaway that I saw from shoot-around, maybe a little bit late, maybe a game missed, but Malcolm Subban in net tonight.
Yeah, Malcolm Subban. You know, and the thing is, I've advocated for Malcolm Subban to have an opportunity to maybe
more consistent.
Yeah, I don't want to say displace Marc-Andre Fleury, because right. I don't think that's the right term. But I'd like to see Malcolm Subban be given an opportunity to prove that he can play. Because I'm a Malcolm Subban fan. I really like Malcolm.
I think a lot of us in this building are.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think we look at Malcolm and we're like, look, if he had an opportunity to play, I feel like he'd be really good.
Yeah.
And we saw him hold the fort down in early December when Marc-Andre Fleury missed that bunch of games due to the passing of his father. Subban played really well in that stretch. Subban played the first game following the bye because Fleury was suspended. He played well against Carolina. I just want to see the guy be given a chance, and I feel like maybe this isn't necessarily the team saying, hey, look, this is your opportunity, but I think it's more of them saying to Marc-Andre Fleury, look, we need you to be better. And maybe it is a game late. Maybe Malcolm could have played against Minnesota, which I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, especially being on the road. It's that one off. It just, yeah. You know,
and then Fleury home against St. Louis, which is obviously a very good team. By the way, I feel like the Golden Knights are walking into a hornet's nest tonight.
Well, with Jay Bobenmeister, is that what you're referencing?
It's not even that. It's also the dad's trip.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
for
true.
For St. Louis,
yeah.
So, and then you factor in the last time they were in this building, they blew a 3-goal lead.
That's a great point. And you're coming off a really disappointing game in Minnesota, so I do wonder what the crowd will be like.
Yeah.
Because frustration is starting to build amongst, you know, Vegas born.
As it should.
You know,
I think fans should be angry and should be frustrated. You know, this team on paper is a lot better than what their record indicates, and we hear that all the time, right? Like, that's such a cliche. But like,
well, no, this is actually proven given year one and two.
Well, yeah, and you listen to, you know, people who are in the know, like Ryan the Hockey Guy, and they'll tell you, look, you know what, there's too much talent on this team for, when you factor in overtime losses, them to be below 500.
Yeah.
I mean, they're third in the division because everyone else around them seems to keep losing.
Yeah, it's totally a product of circumstance.
But, you know, I had a conversation with someone today. They're 5 points behind Vancouver. They have two games remaining against Vancouver. One here, one there. They've gotten 3 out of 4 points so far this season from the Canucks. I believe they won that first game that they played. I know they lost the second game in overtime up there. But Vancouver is a team that when I watch them play, I watched them last night against the Blackhawks. They play with no fear.
They're young. They're determined. They've got that back against the wall mentality, the chip on their shoulder.
They're full of piss and vinegar, yes. Like the old people used to say.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a team that I think people need to start taking serious. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, but they're clearly a playoff team. They have elite, talented young players like Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser, Bo Horvat. You know, even JT Miller's been really good for them. So for Vegas, I talked to Shea Theodore. He's my guest in the pregame tonight. And some of the things he said, I would say, are kind of surprising.
What do you have to say?
Well, I'll paraphrase, and basically it was, this is our playoff right now. We need to treat these games like playoff
especially games. Especially this stretch with Tampa Bay, Washington, because St. Louis.
Because you finish with 4 straight on the road. I believe it's Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. Those are your last 4 games. They're all on the road. Those are all teams fighting to get into the playoffs. You need to take care of your business at home. Like Marshawn Lynch said, take care of your chickens.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be really interesting to see. And I saw a note. I don't know if this is going to stick, but Carlson may be on the 2-line?
I think he will be. I feel like that's a thing. And honestly, I feel like that's probably a good thing. You know, you want your best center playing with your probably two best wingers in Pacioretty and Stone. And, and you know what? Kudos to Chandler Stephenson. The kid played very well.
He'll do whatever he needs to do.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine on the third line with Tuck. And I'll be curious to see what happens when they decide to bring Cody Glass back.
Well, we got a final announcement here. A little update on the Henderson plans from the VGK, Vegas Golden Knights, saying today, we are proud to announce that the American Hockey League version of the Fortress is coming to Henderson. We will work with the city officials on developing a second hockey facility in Henderson. It will be a state-of-the-art 6,000-seat arena for our AHL team. So there you go. They're going to have their offices in Water Street, but they are going to be building an arena in Henderson. That first year is going to be at the Orleans Arena, but they are going to be at Henderson. So Henderson, you're getting hockey.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations to the city of Henderson.
I live in Henderson. That should do. I'm very interested to see how
you
what
get
that
the
does.
Raiders practice facility
and cheaper games with the AHL affiliate.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
It is great. Plenty of good things happen in the city of Las Vegas and the city of Henderson. And we'll be back tomorrow to talk about all those things. We'll see you then, friends. To the time being, we lit. Hoping I don't let it get all in my head. Now I need the money just to say that I'm rich.